John Allen presents the Creepy Crawl Podcast. Welcome once again, creeps, to the Creepy Crawl Podcast. I am John Allen, your host with the spectacular vernacular. It's a creepisode today from the OG of his genre, Robert the Doll. First and foremost, big shout out to everyone who has been helping the show. If you would like to be awesome like these people, you can do so by simply going to patreon.com/creepycrawl. You can also go to Venmo at jonathan-allen-154, and do be sure to follow me on Twitter. That is at writer John Allen, and no H in John. Never an H. Research for today's episode occurred on March 22nd, and on this illustrious day in history in 1991, we had Pamela Smart, the high school teacher, found guilty in New Hampshire of manipulating her student lover to kill her husband. This was one of the earlier cases of the student-teacher scandal, as well as one of the first cases that kicked off the true crime following of this modern era. It kind of helped make court TV, which at the time, you know, before Forensic Files and all the shit that we watched to oddly relax ourselves at night before bed, court TV was mecca. So I guess in a weird way to honor Pamela Smart, our pretend intro music today of this terrible and fascinating event is Hot for Teacher by Van Halen. That's right, Van Halen, not Van Hagar. I'm talking David Lee Roth. We're going to go with the OG, since Robert's the OG that we're going with. We're going to go with the OG of Van Halen. Oh, creeps. You know what I'm hot for? Scary fucking ragdolls. So, with that said, dim the lights, throw a weighted blanket over your dolls, and creepy crawl with me. Okay, so creeps, if you are anything like me, and I imagine you are A, astonishingly attractive, and B, you celebrate Halloween year-round. So, as one does, it's 4 in the morning, and I remembered Robert the Doll the other day because I was watching old episodes of The Twilight Zone on Netflix. There is a memorable episode where a creepy doll named Talkie Tina stalks and kills this inattentive and emotionally abusive stepfather. In this episode, the doll has human-like reactions and says she's going to kill this man. And even weirder, the mother, the woman who purchased the doll, her character name is Annabelle, which makes me wonder if that's where the Warrens stole their scam idea. We do know that Chucky from Child's Play, and pretty much any other haunted doll movies by default then, are directly inspired by Robert the Doll. So, Robert, who or what is he? Well, let's make like a comic book and establish an origin story. There's a couple out there. So the story of Robert the Doll dates back to the early 1900s. There's a young boy at the center of all this. His name is Eugene Robert Otto. And he was given a one-of-a-kind handmade doll by his grandfather. This doll came from a German manufacturer named the Steiff Company. And this is where Otto's grandfather picked it up while on a trip to Germany in 1904 and had given this to young Otto as a birthday gift. Steiff Company. That sounds so Third Reichish. I hate that for the German people. I have German blood in me. But all those words sound like you're spitting on someone, and it just sounds so, you know, World War II-ish. Steiff. Now, Eugene Robert Otto comes from a prominent family. They lived in a beautiful home located at 534 Eaton Street, which was built between 1890 and 1898. This prominent family lived in Key West, Florida. And nowadays, it's kind of a, I guess, not really a dark tourist thing, but it's one of those national landmark type of houses. It's called the Artist House because Eugene Robert Otto, the child in question, would later go on to be, well, as you'll learn, an eccentric artist. And yeah, it's now called the Artist House. So anyway, Grandpa buys Eugene Robert Otto this doll from the Steiff Company in Germany. You'll see in pictures that I'm going to put on Twitter, Robert the doll now is wearing a sailor suit. That sailor suit was actually an outfit that the young Eugene Robert Otto wore as a child. And I have a picture of both him wearing it as a child and Robert the doll. And it is creepy as fuck. The other origin story involves a voodoo housekeeper. They were Bahamian, and they were people that lived in the Bahamas. They were into voodoo and all this stuff. And apparently, one of the housekeepers had gotten fired, as the legend goes. She came with this doll, kind of begging for her job back. And Eugene Otto's mother said no, but took the doll regardless, and then the doll, you know, the voodoo kicked in and everything happened. There's actually a prevailing theory, which I'll go over at the end of the episode, but those are the two working theories that you find most on the internet. Now, you may have noticed I said the young child's name was Eugene Robert Otto. So not to make anything confusing, Eugene was eventually just called Gene. And he named the doll Robert. He said that this was something Robert told him he wanted. So when we refer to Robert, we're actually referring to the doll. And Gene is the little boy. So, Gene, he quickly became attached to his new friend Robert, sparking a friendship that lasted throughout his lifetime and perhaps beyond. So, while on the surface, an ordinary cloth doll, it's made with, like, wood and foam and kind of weird looking. It looks like some fucked up, you know, Muppet that they just stopped working on halfway through production. It wasn't long before Robert the doll was involved in strange and terrifying events. The first hint that something out of the ordinary was happening, it came one night when Gene was only 10 years old. And awoke to find this impish wolf fiend Robert the doll sitting at the end of his bed and just fucking staring at him. Just picture that. 10 years old, you wake up, and this doll that's put up on a shelf or something is at the foot of your bed in a sitting position staring at you. I say G-A-O, goosebumps all over. Woodrow, my co-host that lives in my brain, just ran into the bathroom and locked the door. So, not a lot of courage there from him. So, anyway, after this event, moments later, Gene's mother was awakened by his screams for help and the sound of furniture being overturned in her young son's bedroom. Gene cried for help, begging for his mother to rescue him. When she finally was able to pry the locked door open, she was met with this crazy-ass image of little Gene curled up in fear in his bed, While his room was in shambles and Robert the doll was just sitting at the foot of the bed. "Robert did it," were the only words Gene could get out. These are the same words he would later use many times throughout his childhood when something strange, mysterious, or destructive would happen. So, could all of this be real? How? Why? Nobody knew for certain why or how this child's plaything could actually cause chaos in a child's bedroom, or really do anything at all. I mean, after all, it was just a toy, right? The creepy weirdness did not stop with this lone occurrence. Gene's parents would often hear their son upstairs talking to Robert the doll and getting a response back in a totally different voice. I don't know about you, I'm calling a fucking exorcist at this point. Their own eyes saw the doll speak and its expression change, and they saw this quite often. Spooky ass, childlike giggles, and the sight, unbelievable as it was, of Robert running up the steps or staring out of the window upstairs were common. I don't know, these people did realize that the house was flammable, right? I would have lit the joint up like the 4th of July. That's just me, and I like fire. The doll remained stored in the Otto family home at 534 Eaton Street in Key West while Otto, now kind of grown, went to study art in New York and Paris. Gene Otto married Annette Parker in Paris on May 3rd of 1930. Robert the doll continued to live with Gene throughout his lifetime and after Gene's parents died. So the couple, Gene and his wife Annette, they returned to the Otto compound, I guess, in Key West. Gene decided that the doll needed a room of his own, because of course he would be strange enough to do something like that for this plush disciple of the devil, and he placed him in the upstairs room that had a window overlooking the street. Gene's love of Robert the doll never wavered. Legend has it that Robert the doll sat right next to Eugene while he painted. According to Corey Convertito, who is the curator of the East Martello Museum, which is where Robert is now, and Robert's caretaker, quote, and this is in regards to Gene, "He brought it everywhere. He talked about it in the first person as if he were not a doll. He was Robert, as in he is a live entity." Well, Annette felt uneasy with Robert in the house rather than strapping on some New Balances and jogging to the divorce attorney, and she wanted Gene to lock the doll up in the attic where he could do no harm. Gene finally agrees to this because maybe 5% of him realized, you know, hey, I'm a grown-up. And as the tale goes, Robert the doll was not happy with his new entombment. Oh, I have a poetry inspiration. What would happen would be a hellion rebellion. Hashtag rhymes. Following this, visitors to the Otto House heard horror movie level white knuckle giggling like a child. They also heard footsteps in the attic where Robert was, as well as the sounds of someone pacing back and forth. Neighborhood kids often saw Robert staring at them, like down at them from a window in the upstairs bedroom, and they told accounts of the doll actually mocking them as they walked to school. These same children, this was verified, they took the long way to school. They avoided this route. Now, these are, you know, kids from like 100 years ago, so maybe those stories you hear about your grandparents walking to school uphill 1 mile there, 1 mile back, maybe it's true. Maybe fucking Robert made him do it. When Gene was told about this by the neighborhood, he went all Sherlock Holmes and sought to investigate because he knew that he had locked Robert in the upstairs bedroom. Of course, when he opened the door to the bedroom, there was Robert sitting in the rocking chair by the window. Sorrow betide ye, succubus. Sorry, I just wanted to throw some old-timey exorcism-type stuff there. So this rocking chair is a rockin', and Robert is in it. This would become a recurring theme. Gene locked Robert back up in the attic several times. Each time, the doll was found sitting by the window in another room upstairs. Why are attics and basements still around? I swear, they only exist as portals to the infernal land of the dead. So Gene Otto died in 1974. It is said that Robert the doll was next to him as he took his final breath. Fuck that. Wife Annette obviously wasn't a huge fan of her husband's cloth best friend, and it was vice versa. So once Eugene died in 1974, Annette said fuck this and left Key West. So then a new owner, her name was Myrtle Reuter, moved into the house. She had a 10-year-old daughter who was thrilled to find Robert left behind in the attic. Attic. You know what? I'm a Diet Mountain Dew addict, that's for sure. I need a sip right now. This thrill the young girl experienced, let's just say it was a thrill until she realized that Robert was fucking alive and wanted to hurt her. She awoke often in the middle of the night screaming in fear and told her parents that Robert had moved about the room like a menacing stalker. I guess Robert's face would change when people and, you know, the new owners of the house would have company over. And again, Gene, before he died, was this eccentric painter. And, you know, people talk, especially in Key West. It's a small, close-knit community. So they would have guests over, and they would gossip about Gene. And Robert the doll, his facial expressions would change, and they would be menacing and creepy and malevolent. So the Reuter family decided that, finally, after 20 years of this, that, you know, a Cabbage Patch Kid might bring more joy and less of a macabre abomination of humanity. So Robert the doll was given away. The Reuters, they gave the doll, Robert, to the East Martello Fort Museum. And this was not a weird thing to do because I guess when you're looking at it from the vantage of what it really is for the museum, it's a rare artifact from early childhood, you know, toys from the early century. So it was a good get. Oh, and by the way, 1 year exactly after Robert was given to this museum, Myrtle, the new owner of the house, she went ahead and died. So, was Robert really possessed? Let's put it this way. The first night that Robert was in this museum, he was kind of stuffed in some boxes and put in a back room. You know, again, just a doll. They'll get around to doing whatever they're going to do with him. The museum curator was found running and screaming from the museum. And pastier white than I am right now, and never spoke of what caused this. There are stories that claim that Robert would move voodoo figurines around the room in the museum and was, quote, aware of what went on around him. One night, the closing workers of the museum, well, they all left, and as they're in the parking lot, the lights went on in the museum. But here's the thing. For those lights to come on, all of them, there's not one switch. There would have to be 7 people in 7 different rooms. So this is kind of, you know, hey, maybe something's up with this stupid doll. Well, things happen. People would come and take photos of Robert. Then they would find that those photos did not exist on their camera and the battery was completely drained. But the second they would walk out of the museum, the battery was fine. There was just a cornucopia of things that were happening. Museum visitors, so they supposedly began to experience post-visit misfortunes. Guests to the museum, again, they try to take pictures of Robert, and the cameras become inoperable. Just bad things are happening, right? People are getting in car crashes, broken bones, they're getting divorces, and, you know, they're losing their jobs. So the staff, they said, you know what, we need to respect Robert. Something's going on, we don't know, but it is not of this world. So they gave Robert his own glass display in an attempt to stop the poltergeist hijinks. It didn't quite work, so the staff implemented, I guess you would say, precautions for the safety of their guests. So when dealing with Robert, here is what everyone to this day is expected to do at the East Martello Fort Museum. You must first introduce yourself to Robert. Then you must express gratitude. Then you must ask Robert for permission for a photo. And finally, you have to thank Robert for allowing you to be in his presence. So yes, Robert continues to taunt and haunt, and sounds like a narcissist with these demands. People, it's Robert the fucking evil doll. Put some respect on his name. Hey creeps, it is time for our weekly levity, the segment with my co-host Woodrow and his jokety jokes. I need some levity because, you know, this fucking doll is starting to scare me. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. And I'm putting those pictures on Twitter. I don't like it. I feel like this asshole is looking at me. Sweet horror of Mephistopheles. Now, originally, Woodrow had written jokes about dolls, but now he's super spooked. And he just texted me from the bathroom where he's lying in the tub in the fetal position. What? Hold on, he's shouting and I can't hear him.
What? Dude, just come out and talk to me. Huh?
No, there is not a lingering presence of death's shadow out here. Are you serious? Why are you... Woodrow, this is becoming the marshmallow incident at that Golden Corral in Des Moines all over again. Okay, creeps. Joke number one from Woodrow. I guess this is a replacement joke, I should say, because he's really scared of Robert, and I don't know, he's being as irrational as robbing a bank on the last day of the world. So, yeah, here we go. Joke one. 2 men broke into a drugstore and stole all of the Viagra. The police put out an alert to be on the lookout for 2 hardened criminals.
Dick jokes. Seriously, Woodrow.
Okay, joke 2, creeps. They say that during sex, you burn off as many calories as running 8 miles. Who the hell runs 8 miles in 30 seconds?
Woodrow, how are you doubling my time?
Last one, creeps. I guess these are all sex jokes, but he probably just Googled it or something since he's afraid of the doll jokes. Okay, what is the difference between being hungry and being horny? It is where you put the cucumber.
Oh, Woodsy.
That's our Woodrow. Creeps, back to the show. Thank you. So, Creeps, the final origin story of Robert is one that was heavily researched in a book I read. So, again, Eugene Otto came from a wealthy family. His father was William Sloan, and they had, I think it actually his grandfather was William Sloan, I should say, sorry. And William Sloan had a local gal named Emmeline who worked for the family. Now, Emmeline and her family were so close to the Sloan family that they were family. For example, later on in life, Emmeline's family would be buried in the same family plot as the Sloans. And that was kind of unheard of for the time because, you know, Emmeline's family, they're black and they're Bahamian, which means they're from the Bahamas. And, you know, race relations being what they were, the graves were even fucking segregated. Like, that's just ridiculous. But these families were considered to be really close. Well, upon research, Emmeline had an affair with William Sloan. And she got pregnant. Now, again, this is Jean's grandfather, William Sloan. She got pregnant, and they say she lost her child. Now, what happened after this? There have been visions in that house for a very long time of a light-skinned black girl. And people are saying this is Emmeline trying to live through Robert the Doll. So the final theory is that Robert the Doll is haunted by either Emmeline or their lost child, which would be Eugene Otto's, I guess, aunt, half-aunt. So yes, that is the prevailing theory. But does any of it matter? Because Raggedy Ann here is fucking scary and haunted. Robert the Doll sits inside a glass case now. Are you feeling that Annabelle scam from the Warrens yet? Didn't they do that with Annabelle? And their stupid-ass little basement museum of lies and deception? This partition doesn't stop Robert from inflicting fear and discomfort to museum staff and visitors. So, staff members report that Robert's facial expression just changes all the time, as well as hearing the familiar demonic giggling, and they have even seen Robert put his hand up to the glass. I think that's when I would invest in a flamethrower, but that's just myself. If you want to, you can meet Robert the Doll at the East Martello Museum. You can also just call Lucifer directly and offer your allegiance if you want to save time. Visitors are welcome to view Robert in his special case at the museum, and they are, for some reason, they are encouraged to try to get a photo, which seems odd. I don't know, I'm not a business guy, but if snapping a photo can, like, ruin or end your life, why would the museum want their demographic killed off? But most, anyway, who have tried have been unsuccessful at the photography. At best, they'll get a close look at Robert and watch him carefully and try to catch a glimpse of him smirking at them or moving around in his case or watching you back. Murphy Maroney, a writer for Pop Sugar, she recounted her entree into the museum while vacationing on her honeymoon. Oh, she's cute. And of course she's married. I'm going to die alone with Woodrow and a bag of Doritos in my lap, but Murphy Maroney's married. Quote from this Miss Maroney. Before walking into the museum to get a peek at Robert, the tour guide gave us some strict rules to follow. You must greet and introduce yourself to Robert. If you want to take a photo of him, you must ask first. And you can't leave the museum without saying goodbye. While a bit weird, That all sounded doable to Chris. This is her husband that I don't like because, you know, she's married to him and not me. So we did as we were told. After snapping a few photos, we learned about what happens to people who don't follow the rules or poke fun at Robert. A nearby TV showed thousands of letters from people from around the world who experienced terrible luck after rubbing the doll the wrong way. You should never rub a doll. That's creepy itself. Oh, she meant metaphorically. Ha! She continued, quote, "As a respectful visitor, I thought I was off the hook. I followed the rules and was genuinely interested in learning about him. But boy, was I wrong. I made one comment about a grown man carrying around a doll, and my fate was sealed. As soon as I woke up the next day, the bad luck began. First, our flight home was delayed. Then, we were forced to rebook our flight because the plane was too heavy, resulting in us having a 5-hour layover and getting transferred to another connecting flight. And then, quote, we finally landed back home around midnight. The problem? Our luggage never showed up. We were told to go home and that the suitcase was probably on the next flight in. Fast forward to the next morning, still no sign of the bag, and no one on either airline that we used could locate where the suitcase was. It was simply missing without a trace. Frustrated and near tears, we decided to give in to our superstitions and write letters to Robert in the hopes of reversing whatever bad luck he gave us and finding our lost bag. Now lastly, quote, after sending them, the letters, to Robert, we went to bed and promptly called the airlines at 9 a.m. when they opened. And guess what? We were immediately told where our bag was, back in Key West, with an airline we didn't fly with. While things were still somewhat up in the air, our luck seemed to completely change as soon as we apologized to Robert. Well, this is one example. You don't challenge evil, because evil tends to win. Unless you have nothing to lose. Like me, I'm living in a motel right now. So yeah, bring it on, evil, whatever. But yeah, I have a few letters that were sent to Robert as well. I'll just read some of those off. But first, I'm going to take a sip of my Diet Mountain Dew, because I like to talk and my mouth is dry. I've got cotton mouth, and I don't even have the weed high, you know, to make it worthwhile. So, I'll be right back. See, that was quick. You know, creeps, I am now satiated and well quenched. So, here's a couple letters that people sent to Robert because they were idiots and don't listen to rules. Kind of reminds me of these people not wearing masks and then they get COVID. So, yeah. You get what you give. This letter is a simple one. I would also like to apologize, not asking permission. I did say thank you, though. No disrespect was meant, and I do apologize. Take care, Robert. That was from Laura. Now, the next one gets a little bit more in-depth. Here we go. Robert, I just wanted to let you know that I, unlike my friends, have total respect for you. When I questioned your powers last fall, I missed my flight from Miami and nearly missed an important court date. This weekend, when I related my tragic tale to my friends, they openly questioned whether you even existed, much less your powers of revenge. Well, the next day, one of them had a flat tire and the others were trapped in traffic on Interstate 90. Perhaps now they understand. I fervently hope they will seize their mockery. Maybe even some will venture to your wonderful home and pay you a friendly visit. In the meantime, let me just say that I appreciate your attenuation of Tropical Storm Fay and hope that the other denizens of Key West are appropriately grateful. Sincerely, Chris from Illinois. Next letter. Oh, this is a long one. Since our visit to the museum, we've been under a dark cloud. I began to develop a rather severe toothache. 2 days later, Hurricane Charlie cut our vacation short, and we joined the parade of evacuees leaving the islands. We were evacuated from our vacation spot 3 days early with my mouth in tremendous pain. My sister-in-law was also having female health issues. It's a medical term. You can say it. Female health issue. Oh, my God. It reminds me of that episode of Scrubs when Elliot would say, like, vajayjay instead of vagina. Like, she had a thing where she couldn't say, like, I guess, sexual parts on the human body. Scrubs was so underrated, by the way. Anyway, back to this letter. So, where was I? Yes, my sister-in-law was also having female health issues. We were all forced to make alternate travel arrangements on the run. My sister-in-law lives in Clearwater. Hey, Clearwater. You're kind of like my home. After a problem-laden and horrendous trip, she finally got home, only to be evacuated from there, too. She packed up her two cats and headed for her parents' house in Winter Haven, and ended up in the middle of the storm there. They lost power for 2 days. When we arrived in Miami for our flight back to Indianapolis, the plane broke and they had to find a different one for us. The plane broke. That's not something you hear every day. The following day, back in Indiana, I went to the dentist to learn that my tooth had been abscessed and I had to have a root canal. Last night, we had a huge thunderstorm. Our house was hit by lightning. Not once, but twice. We were unplugging things, but not fast enough. We lost three TVs and a large satellite dish. The first hit, which sounded like a gunshot in the house, took one large TV and the satellite dish, and the second hit got two more TVs. Again, the sound was horribly frightening. Please do me a favor and tell Robert that we did not mean to anger or offend him, and we are sorry if we did. His photo did turn out good. Ooh, bad English. She should have said turned out well. So he sat very nicely for me. Would he like it back? Yours sincerely, Cindy Lai. From Indianapolis. Right down the street. There's pigeons there on Market Square. Tom Petty. And then I guess in May of 2020, the hashtag Sorry Robert became a Twitter trend. Because apparently, Robert now has the ability to find out what people are saying about him online. Oh, fuck. So this is online, and I'm pretty sure that... What did I call Robert earlier? I don't know, but it wasn't good. Okay, Robert, hashtag sorry, Robert, if you're listening to this episode. Every bad thing I've said was from Woodrow. It's his fault. And don't murder me because I still haven't finished Game of Thrones and Stranger Things is coming out. Whew. Okie dokie. So these stories, creeps, and apologies are like in the thousands now. I could talk for weeks straight if I had the energy and you had the desire. I think neither of those are true at this moment. The museum receives like 5 letters a day of apology directly to Robert. Fucky Chucky. Damn it, I did it again. Fucky Chucky also receives emails and homages. At some point, it became known that Robert had a sweet tooth. So people leave and send him candy. That's a fair trade. I would trade some Skittles and Fun Dip in exchange for keeping my soul. But that's just me. Deal accepted and honored, Demon Doll. Once he received a box containing 8 bags of peppermints. This must have been sent by an old lady. A card and no return address. Guests leave him sweets, money, and occasionally... even marijuana joints. I'm guessing the sweets are for after smoking the joint. So the term that Gene Otto started back in the way 100 years ago, Robert did it, is now a common local term in Key West. But of course, this little jokingly, ha ha ha, Robert did it when you're in trouble, it's out of earshot from the Demon Doll. Again, many movies were inspired by Robert the Doll, and he's even had his own films. It may sound like nonsense, but tell that to the thousands who have felt this death rattle's wrath. Seriously, creeps, check out the museum reviews on TripAdvisor and all that stuff if you'd like. Check out my pictures on Twitter. I don't know. I just know I don't like dolls. And if I ever go to Key West, I will be holding a gasoline-filled super soaker in one hand and that aforementioned flamethrower in the other. And after that's all said and done, if anyone asks, just tell them Robert did it. Well, creeps, I'm shook. Not hiding in the bathroom shook like Woodrow, but shook like a Polaroid picture. Shout out to Outkast, Danconia. What a world we live in. A doll haunts Key West. Utter lunacy haunts Kanye West. That outro music you can't hear because we are a shoestring operation wearing Velcro is naturally Ragdoll by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Thanks again, creeps, for your support of the show. Again, if you would like to join these denizens of fucking sexy people that are helping, you can do so at Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/creepycrawl. You can hit me up directly on Venmo at Jonathan-Allen-154. And of course, you can follow me on the Bluebird at writer John Allen, no H. That's where you'll find pictures from these cases I cover and the occasional goofy thing. I think the latest thing I put up there was a picture of me from 1995. I was fucking rocking this outfit. I think the hat was blue, and then the pull up or the whatever I was wearing, the zip up, was navy blue, and then the pants were black, but then the shoes were super white. The 90s was a hell of a time. I drank a lot back then. Hey creeps, I just want you to know, you complete me. So, until next time, stay on the ball, don't ton a doll, and Creepy Carl, on.